Today is the first day, the first Sunday of Advent, and we are going to be talking about worship. Worship fully is the theme for this first Sunday of the Advent conspiracy. And worship is important to us, right? Worship is one of the three stones, along with evangelism and discipleship, of Three Stones Church. Worship is a very important thing to us. And I want to throw out a couple of definitions or explanations before we start. And these are all arguable, that you can read and find definitions that agree exactly with these, and you can read and find ones that don't. But just to give us a place to start with, it's not so much to argue the point, but just to give us a place to start. And one is the difference between praise and worship, and the connection between praise and worship. And you've heard me mention this before, but if you go through Scripture and you look at all the times that we see praise, praise is always lifted up. It's face up. It's hands held up. It's lifting up praise. And worship is face down in an understanding of who it is we are praising. It's a response to who God is and what He has done for us, and a realization. And as I mentioned last week, praise is not limited to God. We praise other people, right? We praise things. You know, we heap praise. We say good things about. That's what it means to praise, to say good things about others. And that comes from our voices, right? That we praise. Worship comes from the soul. Worship comes in the hard times, in the difficult times. We worship. So there's a connection between praise and worship, but there's also a difference in the depth and the expression between praise and worship. And then I want to talk a little bit, because we're going to talk about spirits and souls in here. And again, many people have looked at this in different ways, but people are basically, we're made up of three components. We have a body, which is our temporary home, right, while we're in this world. We have a soul, which is our eternal self. It is actually who we are, is our soul, that thing which will live on into eternity. Then there's our spirit. And again, many people look at this differently, but I think this gives us at least a jumping off point to talk about this. Our spirit is that which connects our soul to God. Believers are said in Scripture to be the only ones who are spiritually alive. So our spirit is that which connects our soul to God. So our body is this flesh, this shell. Our soul, which is that which will live into eternity. And our spirit kind of connects the two and connects us to God. It's kind of that connecting thing. So I'm going to read this morning first from the Gospel of Luke in the first chapter. And then I'll be going to the Gospel of John in the fourth chapter. And this is one of the most beloved parts of the Christmas story. This is Mary's response to having heard from the angel what was being asked of her. And her response, "May it be to me as you have said." And her turning herself over. And you know, the last few weeks we've been talking about the beginning of the Beatitudes, right? That meekness before God, that submission to God, that understanding of the bankruptcy of our own souls without Him. And when we talk about Mary and read about the Samaritan woman, I want you to look for those attributes in them. Mary then has this song called the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendant forever, even as He said to our fathers." So this, we have an expression of worship, and there's praise mixed in these words. "But my soul glorifies the Lord," Mary said. "My soul glorifies the Lord. What had happened to her was a unique experience in all of mankind's history. This would never be asked of anyone again. It was never asked of anyone before. But we have Mary in this worshipful response. Her agreement, her assent to this, which brings us our Savior. She brings us Jesus because she agrees. And knowing that this is going to be a very difficult time. I mean, she can look ahead and see the difficulty with Joseph, the difficulty with her family, the difficulty with being a single pregnant teenager in the Middle East. And in the midst of that, what could be terror, what could be frightening, her response is, "My soul glorifies the Lord." This is the beginning of our Christmas story, leading into our discussion of worship. Moving over to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, to get into the nuts and bolts a little bit of what worship is. And it's the story that many of us know of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. They were traveling and Jesus took his group out of the way, right, to go through Samaria. And they end up in the middle of town. Jesus sends them off and he goes and he walks up to this woman. Very unorthodox way. There's much to this story, which is for another time, but very unorthodox thing for him to do, and approaches her and asks her for water. And she responds, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." I'm sorry, let me go back one verse. I'm going to go to verse 9. "The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have given him... You would have asked, and he would have given you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as he did also his sons and flocks and herds?' Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water.' He told her, 'Go call your husband and come back.' 'I have no husband,' she replied. Jesus said to her, 'You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands. The man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem.' Jesus declared, 'Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit. His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth.' The woman said, 'I know the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us.' Then Jesus declared, 'I who speak to you am he.'" Boy, this is kind of like the Christmas story itself. This story here, kind of an encapsulation of Jesus' life and what he wants in his interaction with everyone. Jesus shows up unannounced, unexpected in someone's life, as he did in Bethlehem. Then the announcement came of who he was, as the angels announced to the shepherds. So Jesus himself told this woman who he was. And she responded. And she had a change in her life. Again, there's much to this story, but I want to worship today on the line that Jesus said that the time is coming and has now come, which means if it has now come 2,000 years ago, that we are in that time now when we must worship in spirit and in truth. And I want to look at those as we talk today about worshiping fully. I want to talk about that worship in spirit and in truth. And what does that mean? Well, I think when Jesus is saying in spirit, he's saying the part that makes it worship is that connection that you make with God. From your spirit, from your soul, through your spirit to God and back. It's not where you are in your body. So it's not on the mountain, it's not in the temple. Not that worship couldn't be in those places, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be in this building. It doesn't have to be in any particular building. But it's also not in the temple, not on the mountain, not in this building. If all you have done is brought your body there, if all you've done is come and sit in this place, that's not worship. Whether it's here or at home with your family or alone somewhere, worship is done through our spirit, connecting with God. Jesus is saying it's not just about going somewhere and doing something, being in the right place at the right time. It's not about that. It's about a spiritual connection between your soul and God. So often in history, church has been other than that. It has been where you go. It has been to check off a square. It has been to make business connections. It has been many, many things. But if church is to be about worship, then while we are here, not just while we're here, but while we are here, it's connecting our souls to God. And here's God desiring for that connection. He's not fending us off. He doesn't have some kind of force field up trying to keep us out that we're trying to get through. No, he is desiring us to reach out and connect with him. He's coming to us as he came to this woman, as he came into this world. God is coming to us, and he is desiring that we would connect with him. But it requires of us that we clear some stuff out of the way and let him in. And let that connection be made. Worship knits us together with God. Worship fixes things in our life. You want your work to be better? Spend some time in worship. You want your family life to be better? Spend some time in worship. It knits things together. And the reason we come together to worship, because it knits us together. It knits us together as a body of Christ in this community. Us coming together. And so it's different when we come together. It's different than when we worship alone. It's a special experience. And we do things like sing together, or listen to singing. Things that facilitate that connection between us and God. We pray together. We hear an expression of God's word. This helps us to connect with God. We must do it in the Spirit. And all we need to do is ask God to receive that. All you need to do is ask God to come and be part of this. It's not hard work. It's not impossible. It's greatly possible. And the God of the universe is desiring to make that connection with us in the Spirit. We better get used to it. Because the day is coming when we won't have this. We won't have this flesh anymore. The day is coming when that worship will be the pure, true worship. We won't have this stuff getting in the way. We won't be thinking about what we have to do Monday morning. When we cross over into glory, we won't be thinking about our phone going off, how many emails we have to answer, how many deadlines we have to respond to, where we have to get the kids to next. But in this life, God is saying, you can come past all of those things right now. I love you, and I want to connect with you right now. And your spirit will connect your soul to me. Let it happen. Work for it to happen. Do those things at home and in the rest of your lives when you're not here, like spending time in prayer and spending time in God's Word to facilitate that connection, opening that connection between you and God. Asking that Holy Spirit to come to you so that you may worship who God is and what He has done for you in spirit and in truth. We know what truth is. Jesus is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So to worship God must go through Jesus. That meant one thing when Jesus was there. It means something for us now. There is no worship of God without Jesus. It's not just, oh, God by another name. It's not just another way of looking at it. There is no worship, period, without Jesus. A number of years ago, I was invited to a prayer breakfast, a community prayer breakfast and worship service, and I did not realize when I received and responded to the invitation that it was a multi-religion service. I don't mean a multi-denominational, where there were Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians all together. Multiple religions in one room, Islam, Buddhist, etc. And I had to leave. And that may sound odd, extreme, may sound intolerant. There is no worship without Jesus. And there is no mixing of worship with Jesus with something else. It is not to be done. The blasphemy of the golden calf was bringing it into worship of God. It was mixing those things together. Now, people can attempt worship at other gods, they can attempt worship at items and idols and things like that, but there is no worship without Jesus. Anything else is counterfeit. That is the truth. And we must worship in spirit and in truth. Another part of that truth is that in worship, God is calling us into a life of discipleship. God is calling us to respond. It's not enough to come to the altar and open our hearts to God and then go about living our lives as if God's not there. The truth is, God is calling us to follow. Jesus said, he who would be worthy to be called my disciple must take up his cross and follow me. We must live the life that we've been talking about and will continue to talk about, the Sermon on the Mount. Right, the last month and in the months to come, we'll be talking about that. Jesus saying, this is what you got to do to look like me. And he's saying here, worship. The time is coming and has come. And church, it is here now for us. Worship must be in spirit and in truth. So it's never about where we're sitting. It's never about a posture. It's never about the building that's around you. Worship is a connection of your soul to God. Worship must involve Jesus. And worship must involve a response to what God is calling us to do. There's 31 days in this month. Most of those are the Christmas season. Some of us carry on, we say the whole month is the Christmas season. That's okay with me. As I have said over the last few weeks and will repeat today, the story of Jesus is our story. The story of Christmas is our story. So I'm going to ask during this season that each and every one of you focus on Christ in everything that you do. Before you go to leave the house in the morning, before you cook a meal, before you go shopping, before you go to work, focus on Christ. When you get to work, when you get to the store, while you're driving, focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. The story of Jesus is our story. How will we express it for the next 31 days? We want to continue to do that, but we know that seasons of focus are helpful. So I'm asking for this to be a season of focus on Jesus. The story of Jesus is our story. It's not Walmart's story. It's not Kmart's story. It's not the 6 o'clock news' story. It's not the school's story. It's our story. If the story is going to be told, who's going to tell it? We're going to tell it. And if we don't tell it, who is? If we don't tell it, no one is going to tell the story. I'm just not going to get mad that people outside the faith aren't saying Merry Christmas. I want them to know Jesus. I'm just not going to get mad about what they call the green thing in the corner. If they don't want to call it a Christmas tree, I don't care what they call it. I want them to know who Jesus is. And I'm not going to do it by stamping my feet and yelling at them. I'm going to do it by showing them the love of Christ. I'm going to show them the love of Christ. I'm going to do the very best I can, and I'm asking you to do the same. To be loving as you go. If you're focusing on Christ, your response is going to be love. It just can't help. So don't let the emails rile you up. Don't let the headlines in the paper and the news and the things you read on the internet, don't let those rile you up. Greater is he than it, that is in us than he that is in the world. But he that is in the world wins a lot of these little battles because we look and we get mad and we go off our game. What do you think? 31 days. Focus on Christ. Every time you see the word Christmas or hear it, think of Christ. Let the must go away. Think of Christ. Focus on him. See how it changes who you are. See how it changes what you do. See how it changes what you say. See how it stops you from saying some things. Are you up for it? 31 days to focus on Christ. You'll see his name everywhere. You'll see it everywhere. It'll be in that word, C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S. It'll be there. All over the place. If we can focus on Christ during Christmas, this little band can change this community. We can change things. Because we're so smart? No. Because we know stuff? No. But because we'll be allowing the Holy Spirit of God to work through us, unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit in this community. And if we'll do it, and a church up the road will do it, churches across the country will do it, the world can be changed. The first Christmas changed the world. Jesus, in the last 2,000 years, has not lost any power. The presence of Christ has not lost any power. Christmas can still change the world. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Will you do something about it? Focus on Christ. The author of our salvation. the lover of our souls. Follow him. And watch other people point and look and try to figure out what's wrong with you. And some of them will ask. Or some of them will respond a little differently when you say something a little different to them. And there'll be an opening. There'll be an opening to say something about Jesus. And a life can be changed. Amen.